movement seemed destined to play a leading part in the future history of international socialism. She settled there in 1896, and 2 years later contracted a formal marriage with a German subject, which secured her against the danger of forcible deportation to Russia. Now, at that moment, the German Social Democratic Party was in the throes of a serious crisis. In 1899, Eduard Bernstein published his well-known work, Die Voraussetzungen des Sozialismus und die Aufgaben der Sozialdemokratie, which urged the party to drop its revolutionary jargon and to work henceforth for tangible social reforms within the given economic setup, instead of trying to bring about its final and forcible overthrow. This reformism, or revisionism, seemed to Rosa Luxemburg a base as well as a foolish doctrine, and she published in the same year a pamphlet, Social Reform oder Revolution, which dealt with Bernstein's ideas in no uncertain fashion. From this moment onward, she was and remained one of the acknowledged leaders of the left wing within the German working class movement. The events of the year 1905 gave Rosa Luxemburg a welcome opportunity to demonstrate that revolution was to her more than a subject of purely academic interest. As soon as the Russian masses began to move, she hurried to Warsaw and threw herself into the fray. There followed a short span of feverish activity, half a year's imprisonment, and finally, a return journey to Berlin. The experiences of the Warsaw Rising are reflected in a book entitled Massenstreik, Partei und Gewerkschaften, which was published in 1906. It recommends the general strike as the most effective weapon in the struggle of the proletariat against the bourgeoisie. The International Socialist Congress, which met at Stuttgart in 1907, prepared and foreshadowed the sorry history of Rosa Luxemburg's later life. On that occasion, she drafted, together with Lenin, a resolution which demanded that the workers of the world should make any future war an opportunity for the destruction of the capitalist system. Unlike so many others, she stuck to her resolution when, 7 years later, the time of testing came. The result was that she had to spend nearly the whole of the First World War in jail, either under punishment or in protective custody. But imprisonment did not mean inactivity. In 1916, there appeared in Switzerland her book, Die Krise der Sozialdemokratie, which assailed the leaders of the German Labour Party for their patriotic attitude and called the masses to revolutionary action. The foundation of the Spartacus League in 1917, the germ cell out of which the Communist Party of Germany was soon to develop, was vitally connected with the dissemination of Rosa Luxemburg's aggressive sentiments. The collapse of the Kaiserreich on the 11th November 1918 gave Rosa Luxemburg her freedom and an undreamt of range of opportunities. The 2 months that followed must have been more crowded and more colourful than all her previous life taken together. But the end of her career was imminent. The fatal Spartacus Week, an abortive rising of the Berlin workers, led on 15th of January 1919 to her arrest by a government composed of former party comrades. During her removal to prison, she was attacked and severely beaten by soldiers belonging to the extreme right, a treatment which she did not survive. Her body was recovered days later from a canal. A type not unlike Trotsky, Rosa Luxemburg had her tender and sentimental side, which comes to the surface in her correspondence, especially in the Briefe aus dem Gefängnis, printed in 1922. As a thinker, she showed considerable honesty and independence of mind. The Accumulation of Capital, first published in 1913, which is undoubtedly her finest achievement, reveals her as that rarest of all rare phenomena, a Marxist critical of Karl Marx. W. Stark. The Accumulation of Capital. Section 1. The Problem of Reproduction.